Welcome to the Going Merry Podcast, the number one One Piece review podcast for people that are sexy as shit that play in the show on the internet. My name is Derek, and I am one of your co-hosts. And as always, I have my two amazing co-hosts, Whitney and Amanda. Amanda, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fantastic. Whitney, how about you? How are you today?
Could be better, Derek. Could always be better.
Yeah, for you it could be.
What is that supposed to mean?
No, then I'm just going to leave that there. And thanks. Then we have a special guest. Stop flipping me off.
I was scratching my face. That's a pointer finger, Derek.
Sure it is. Keep your eyes open. Listeners, it's totally not her pointer finger.
Nice. Thank you.
And our special guest today, Keith, aka Film Critter. Keith, how are you?
I'm feeling stretchy.
Stretchy. Ooh. What exactly does being stretchy feel like? I need details.
Well, you have to hydrate. Let's put it that way.
to make sure that there's extra, like, you know, liquid there to stretch out.
Exactly.
Because if it's just dry, you're going to break.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah,
I just got a visual of some, like, cracked, dry, brittle, stretchy arms. Blech.
Just imagine, like, a cheese string left out in the air for a while and then try to pull it.
That, Keith.
That is the perfect analogy.
I just throw out all my string cheeses.
No, just keep them wrapped up.
Yeah, just don't leave them out in the not moist shit.
Yeah, in the not moist shit.
How many gross things can we say in 5 minutes?
What, you don't like the word moist?
No, it doesn't bother me, but I'm sure a lot of people don't like to hear that.
How many times can we say it at the beginning of this episode?
How about the word paste? Is that doing paste to anybody?
No. Oh, honestly,
is that one you don't like?
I don't know why. The word paste reminds me of Powerpuff Girls. There was like an episode where someone eats paste and he turns into like a paste monster.
Wow.
Okay.
Tackling an addiction of children everywhere.
That's, I know.
That's
yeah.
How progressive that show was.
So I care. So I know on John's podcast, Keith, I know Annabelle was on there a couple times, like doing script readings of Powerpuff Girls. Yeah. You were on there too, right?
I was. Yeah.
That
was
Oh, man. Those episodes absolutely crack me up. Like, those scripts are amazing. And I'm so disappointed that the live action Powerpuff Girls is not going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah.
I needed those scripts, like, in an actual show. They were great.
They were a lot more thought out than I was expecting. A lot more dark.
I know.
The future jump to, like, Bubbles when she's like, you know, I can't remember if she was the alcoholic or what, but
anyways, yeah.
Bubbles was a porn star.
I thought she was like an influencer or something. I don't remember her being a porn star.
What?
Yeah, because
nightmare is this?
Because there was like a, I will never forget it. There was a scene where, because they were getting ready to go back out and like do something as a trio for the first time in a while. Yeah. And Bubbles was like, yes, this is going to be perfect for my next movie. Bubbles is back. And someone's like, not to be confused with your previous movie, Bubbles on Her Back.
Ew.
Compelled?
Yeah, I want to clarify that I said that was a nightmare. Look, if she wants to be a porn star, good for her. Go for it. What I was like, if she's an alcoholic, all I can think of is like all those years of her being the peppy one and the positive force in the group, it just drove her insane and she lost it eventually. And that makes me very sad.
Yeah, see,
when did they age? What is happening here? They're like 6 years old in that cartoon.
I know. In the live action, they're like 26. It's been like 20 years.
Well, thank God for that.
That movie isn't happening. I didn't know that they developed a story out of it.
Yeah.
Buttercup is the happy one.
Interesting. That's pretty bad.
She hasn't changed. It's just that's how depressing Blossom and Bubbles are.
What a terrible film.
Blossom's a bummer. Yeah, it'll never see the light.
This was a joke. You know how, like, Dora the Explorer, they made her, like, a millennial who's got depression and anxiety, and she's just like, oh my god, I don't know, you know. But that was a joke. I thought this was a joke. This was really the plot of that movie.
No, and totally what? No, it was a show. Yeah. It was going to be a show, not a movie.
And like the CW network or something.
Yeah, it was going to be.
CW was going to talk about. Jesus
Christ.
Oh.
Wow, I can't believe that's real. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, we know what we're doing after this anime / live action is over, if they come out with a new Powerpuff Girls. This change to a Powerpuff Girls podcast.
Absolutely. Because Chloe Bennett.
Yep.
Was going to be Blossom. She was already cast as Blossom. Yeah, that. I was. Wait, what?
I didn't enjoy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I didn't either.
I don't know what else she's in besides that. So
I don't either.
Wait, is she Quake? Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know her name.
Yeah, she was going to be Blossom. Anyway, I'm so glad that we're talking about Powerpuff Girls prior to this. I know it is my fault. I brought it up.
All right, guys. We're going to talk about this today.
So before we dive into episode 5, I just have a few questions for Keith to kind of get your background here. So,
okay,
Keith, you have not seen the One Piece anime, correct?
I have not seen a single moment of the anime.
Okay. Have you watched any anime before?
I have. Okay. My wife, well, I grew up watching like Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z, but my wife got me into anime when we started dating, just watching a lot of ones that she grew up with. And if it wasn't for her, I would not understand the tropes that I'm noticing in this live action show. I watched all 5 episodes, live action episodes, last night. She was in the other room playing Baldur's Gate, and I come out after the 5th one, and I'm like, yep, this is definitely based on an anime. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, the whole thing is friendship, and every bad guy becomes a good guy and joins the crew, and or they're just like a total obnoxious tool, and then the old guy who's after them is related to the lead character. And I was like, this is an anime, through and through. And then she had to explain it's called a boy anime, a shonen?
Shonen Jump
it feels like Dragon Ball Z in a lot of ways for me.
Yeah, well, so that's the funny part. So the creator Ichiro Oda, who wrote One Piece, is like best friends with the guy who wrote Dragon Ball. The voice actor, a lot of the voice actors that are in One Piece are also in Dragon Ball Z. Huh. So like the same guy that voices Vegeta also voices Zoro in the anime. Oh wow,
good choice.
Yeah, makes sense. So and there's a few others. Like Usopp is voiced by the same guy that voices Krillin.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
And then Sanji, who we met in this episode, is voiced by the same actor that voices Trunks.
Oh wow, I thought you were gonna say Piccolo.
Huh?
What was the name of the other one?
Trunks.
All Trunks.
Okay. Yeah.
Is Bulma and Vegeta's son from the future?
Yes.
That sounded like bad words that you just said.
Bulma.
It's a Bulma.
Not that that's a bad word, but I was just like, Volvo.
It's like ball and Volvo mixed together with an M in there. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a few others that share, like the voice actor for Hercule is in One Piece, the voice actor for Chi Chi is in One Piece. Like there's quite a few. And I think there was an episode of Dragon Ball Super that like Krillin's phone rings and his ringtone is the One Piece theme song.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so they like have a lot of callbacks to each other or whatever. So you've watched 5 episodes now. What do you think? You liking it?
I'm really loving it. I love the way it's shot. The action is very thorough. The fantasy element of it, that they're not explaining at all whether this is supposed to be Earth or what time period, and that feels very, very much anime to me. it says stop thinking logically, watch and just enjoy, and it does deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like so in. On our second review, I think it was our second episode, Tom came on, or Nob Sterling, And one line he caught at the very beginning of the show that I did not think that in depth of that he did was that they start off, it's a world unlike any other.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, we're just throwing reasoning out the window.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
The world unlike any other, and I'm there, right? Yeah. Well, I don't need to know where we are or when we are. It's just, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So you can mix all these different cultures and these inspired by, you know, all these different cultures. And then you can have people wearing period piece pirate clothing in one scene, and then a nice jersey knit shirt.
A nice jersey knit t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm saying.
One of those
titty shirts. One of those jersey t-shirts.
That's what t-shirts short for, tit t-shirt.
That's in a later season.
Yeah, episode 500.
Mm-hmm. So, Amanda, on episodes 5 specifically, what did you think?
I quite enjoyed this one. We got, again, introduced to some new characters, lots of new characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they, again, this is another... I guess they all kind of have been so far like cliffhanger-y. It's going to lead, the story's going to continue into the next episode. So I thought it was pretty exciting.
Okay. Whitney, what about you?
Yeah, same. This is one of my favorite episodes. So many new characters that I was excited to see. I was ready to see based on our watch of the anime. At the very, very most, Sanji. I was so excited to finally meet him.
Keith, by the way, this is a major Zoro and Sanji thirst podcast. I'm just letting you know. And this was a Sanji thirst podcast before he even made an appearance on the damn show.
Wow. And we recognize and understand all of Sanji's flaws from the anime. You're not familiar with that, but he is quite the, he's not a womanizer because they don't really always respond to him, but he treats women kind of like things.
Yeah, he flirts with every woman that he sees, basically.
Like, he overdoes it.
They kind of play with that a little bit in this episode, don't they?
They made it more smooth.
Yeah, than he seems a little bit more.
He's ridiculously cringy and weird, creepy.
It's like heart eyes literally popping out of his face, kind of thing when he sees a woman walk by.
Can I lay my head on your bosom? Like, it's that kind of weirdness. The good parts of Sanji in the anime, he's a great fighter, which we see some in this episode, and he's fairly loyal. He seems like a good person, and then he just switches into this when he sees a female, he just loses it in the anime. So I'm really glad that they leaned away from that a little bit in the live action, because he's much more likable that way.
I really hope that he has sunglasses, like the lenses are heart eyes. That would just be hilarious to me.
That'd be a nice little, inside baseball kind of thing.
Yeah.
For the fans.
That would be funny. And I think Taz Skyler could pull them off too. Like, I think
absolutely. He could pull off anything. Am I right?
So Keith, what about you? What'd you think of episode 5?
I'm so glad that you guys asked me to be on this episode and not one like 3 or 4. I thought the first 2 episodes were great. 3 or 4 took a dip for me. I hate that butler guy. I hate the poison soup is like the oldest trick in the evil butler book. And I'm like, I can see it coming. You know he's evil. Like, give me
something.
How many
evil butlers are you familiar with?
Oh my God.
That used food coloring.
The third episode of the Incredible Hulk 1970s TV series has an evil stepmom and a butler that poisoned their
that's all how the Hulk got gamma radiation.
The Hulk comes in and like ruins their barn and their orange grove. It's pretty fun. But yeah, it's just a trope I've seen before. But no, this episode was badass from the beginning to end. I loved the little cannonball warfare at the beginning, and then it goes straight into the restaurant with Sanji, and obviously the end is quite palpable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely loved this episode. This episode was fantastic. And honestly, when I watched it and like when it ended, I was like, it's not over. It's like, it felt like I literally felt like I had been watching it for like 15 minutes. Like, I couldn't believe it had already been an hour that I was watching it. Like, I was ready for it to keep going.
Yeah.
So yeah, I freaking loved this episode. It was great. I loved the characters in it. I was kind of surprised. It kind of felt a little Sanji light for me. Like, he didn't feel like he was really in it that much. You know, I mean, he had a few good scenes, but for it being kind of his introductory episode, I was surprised he wasn't in it more. But overall, I was liking the twists and everything like that they were using to make it different than the anime. And I'm curious to see where it goes from here.
Yeah.
All right. So we could go. Hooked.
I will be watching the rest for sure.
Well, good. I was going to say things, but I'm not going to say things. I was going to talk about one of our guests that's coming on in a future episode, but I'm just going to leave that there. And Whitney, stop looking at me like that.
I'm not the only one looking at you like that, but thank you for calling me out for it.
I mean, okay, so Keith is looking at me like that too, now that you mention it.
And Amanda.
And Amanda, okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at myself like that. Okay.
I'm just wondering what on earth you're talking about.
Exactly. Let's just leave it there.
I don't know. None of us have any idea.
Yeah, we'll just leave it there. You know, by the time we're done recording, we'll forget about it. So, you know, and you're... I would tell you when we're not recording, but that's going to be a little bit. If you want to write it down or something like that, I can tell you.
I'm not that worried about it.
Okay. See, so stop making faces.
It's just my face. God. See, Keith, this is what he's like.
Yeah.
He needs like a new one.
I'm trying to save money to pay for a new one, okay?
This is what the Patreon's for. Just kidding. Listeners, yeah. We don't actually have one. We can open one if someone wants to fit. Never mind.
GoFundMe for my Botox, please.
Yep. That, and there was something else we were going to do. We were going to open a Patreon for. We're going to open it for Bill Gates, or someone, so he could donate to us because he was going to be, he was a friend of the show.
Because he's a coward.
He was.
And he won't come on the hour. And we got to save money for our March for Jizz.
March for Jizz.
Yeah. Don't forget, everybody.
Keith, are you aware are you aware of the cause?
I listened to the episode before this one for sure. Okay. I know. He's now.
Stop talking about it. Okay. Don't tell me anymore.
I don't understand how it started, but I heard all that it followed.
I don't remember how
it started. I don't remember how it started either. Amanda brought it up.
It was my fault. But why do we? No, because you said.
We started talking about Sard Wars and Jid's music.
No, it was because somebody said. Shit. It was like Jizz adjacent. And then you were like, oh, haha, Whitney, you meant Jizz.
That's what we were talking about. Because the episode was called The Pirates Are Coming. That's what it was.
That is how it started. I remember.
Gross.
That. Yep. That's exactly what it was. Ew. Well, I'm glad we all can take this trip down memory lane together.
I have to say this before it leaves my head because it's a compulsion of mine. Adjacent.
Ooh.
Oh, I like it.
Nice.
I hope somebody out there is listening to these two episodes back to back, this one and last week, and they're just like, what the fuck? Move on. Stop talking about so much jizz.
They're like, I don't know why they're having so much trouble remembering it. It was only like, you know, 15 minutes ago when I listened to the last episode.
Binging.
I've done that before. I've like binged podcasts and I'm like, why are you having trouble remembering this? Like, you only said it a few months ago. I'm like, wait, that was years ago. My bad. Okay. Episode 5, Eat at Baratie. The Marines fire at the Mary and Luffy flashes back to the time he built his first pirate ship. Garp attempted to raise Luffy to be a Marine. But to Garp's dismay, a stubborn Luffy has been determined to be a pirate from a young age. The Mary continues taking its hits as Luffy tries to take charge of the crew, but with it being their first naval battle, things are not going smoothly. Garp orders a surrender, but Luffy refuses. He hurls a cannonball at the Mary, but Luffy deflects it right back at the Marine vessel and takes out their mast. The Straw Hats are able to get away, but after making their way through a fog, they arrive at the Baratier. Keith, we'll start with you. What did you think of the introduction here?
Well, I mean, this isn't everybody's first naval battle. Usopp has been in 24 at least, according to his later on. 24 at least. And he's the one who messes up and spills all the... Yeah, I thought this was a great way to not only see the team in action and in failure, but also that... what's his name? Gorp? No.
Garp?
Garp.
Yeah.
Garp just yeeting that cannonball. And you're like, okay... I don't know if it's because it's an anime that I'm not supposed to question why he's so strong or that this is absolutely devil fruit magic. But I was like, that was cool. I'm glad he could volley that back.
And see, that's
like proud of him.
That's the thing I brought up before, because I feel like people who have not watched the anime, and even people who have, like me, sometimes it's not clear when people have these abilities. Like Zoro is super strong too. And it's like, are people watching this for the first time going to be like, does that guy have a devil fruit power? Because
I think so.
Normal people shouldn't be able to do this. And so, like with Garp, I can see somebody thinking that, because who can throw that far? I mean, it seems kind of, and of course, Derek won't tell us if he has devil fruit powers or not, because who knows? We haven't got to that point yet. But like, I can see where you're coming from, where it's kind of confusing.
It's very common in anime I've seen, the ones I've seen anyway, where everybody can just be super ridiculously strong if they train or whatever.
Not
but if you've got an extra superpower, then that's because of some kind of magical thing. But everybody's the same. It doesn't have to make sense type of thing. And I love that.
Garp I was just writing stronger. It off. Garp is stronger than most people. So,
Is that a hint?
No, not necessarily.
Food cake. Something special.
Well, he does eat a lot of donuts in the anime. I think he wins like a donut eating contest.
He ate donuts for like 3 days straight. That was our introduction to him or something like that. It was great.
And didn't he just fall asleep afterwards? So you can really see the family resemblance there.
Yeah, Garp's the best.
Donuts. Sorry, I derailed devil you. Fruit jelly. That's all I'm thinking. A jelly filled devil fruit filled donut.
You know what? That might be pretty good. I think I heard somewhere that devil fruits taste like shit. Like, I think someone mentioned it in the manga or the anime or something. Or no, it was on the live action. Luffy mentioned that it didn't taste very good.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
He sure ate
the whole
thing,
damn thing.
Yeah. He did eat the whole damn thing. Amanda, what about you? What did you think about the beginning of this episode?
I thought it was a good intro. I liked that we got a little flashback so that we could kind of see immediately that like there wasn't any funny business going on, and that he is actually, well, at least he was an older male figure in Luffy's life. Because we don't find this out in the anime, we have no idea that they're related, at least at the point that we're at in it. But I did feel like his jaunty little Hawaiian shirt that he had on totally didn't fit his personality. And I don't know where he got that shirt, but it was like, that's a little too festive for you. You're in a bad mood. I don't think you should be wearing this bright yellow shirt. But yeah, same thing. We don't know about like why he's so strong or if he's had a devil fruit or not. But you kind of wonder when he's lobbing that cannonball over, like, is it just gonna like plop onto the deck or is it gonna like explode something? Like, how strong is he? But we don't see exactly what happens because it gets flung back. And that was a new effect. We haven't seen that before. Big belly Luffy. He didn't call that one out, so I don't know what we're calling that move. But
Gum Gum Big Belly.
It's in the anime, it's Gum Gum Balloon.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, Balloon.
And I was real excited to see the Baratier because that's a fun arc. And I thought they did a nice job constructing it, however they did that. It looks
good. Yeah, I thought it looked good too.
So this restaurant is a bigger thing in the anime.
Yeah,
just one off type of thing. So just where Sanji comes from.
And so I mean, it's a they're at the Baratier for like 10 episodes.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Wow.
Which they're at Serp Village for about that long too, with the butler. That's 10 episodes as well. They draw Usopp out a lot more in the anime than they do in the live action.
So they're turning like full sagas into
episodes. They are, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Chapters,
So I absolutely loved Garp's reaction to Luffy hurling the cannonball back. Like, it was a perfect summary to their relationship. Like, Garp is extremely angry at Luffy for becoming a pirate instead of a marine. But at the same time, he's also extremely proud of him, because even though Luffy's a pirate, he still knows Luffy has a good head on his shoulders. And he also is proud of the fact that Luffy can handle himself in a fight. Like, he doesn't have to worry about him being in a ton of danger out there because he knows his grandson is strong. Yeah. So it's kind of like the back and forth thing. So I really liked that they kind of showed that there. I'll be honest, when I saw the flashback and I saw Garp like angry and walking up toward Luffy, I was like slightly frightened, because, you know, it's an anime. If it was anime Garp and anime Luffy, Garp would have just hauled off and just decked his ass and sent him flying. And I was like, he didn't hit him. What's going on? And I was like, well, I guess they can't show like child abuse on here. Like, that wouldn't be a good start for Garp.
Yeah.
So
it's, I was different, like, in live action.
Yeah. I was like, I guess that makes sense. Okay. I'll leave that one there.
I really love the actor playing Garp, because it's really weird coincidence. I, like, middle of the summer, I bought a 3 movies in 1 Blu-ray of 300, Troy, and Alexander the Great. And
that's,
I
watched, a good trio.
It is. And I watched 300 and Troy back to back, and he's in both. And he's the same kind of character as a captain of a little army. He's like Gerard Butler's second in command in 300, and he's like Brad Pitt's second in command in Troy. It's so weird.
I was just like, oh, cool. Those are two of my favorite movies. Like, I need to go and watch those now.
Are you sure?
I am. It was so weird, because I was like, I know I've seen this guy in something else, and then I watched Troy right after. I was like, what the fuck? There's no, what is the coincidence?
That,
what
Blu-ray, so cool,
trio did I buy? It's this actor's trio. It was weird. So I'm curious if he's in Alexander the Great.
I love that. I've never seen that one, though.
I'm going to have to look that up later.
I'm a big, like, ancient Greece and Rome and stuff fan of that shit.
I always think the 300 and Rise of an Empire or whatever, like the sequel. Hmm. I just thought that one was pretty interesting, because unlike, it's not a sequel and it's not a prequel. Like, it's happening at the same time as the first one.
Oh.
And so I think that's pretty cool, like, because they talk about the events that are happening in the first one as you're going along in the second one. And so I've never seen a sequel like that before. And I think that's pretty cool. Like, that's one of my favorite setups for a sequel, as that, just because of that. Whitney, real quick, I did have one more note. So after the naval battle was all over and they're like going through the fog, you know, everyone's kind of like still in shock that Luffy's grandpa is a vice admiral in the Marines. And Nami mentions to Zoro, and she says, why don't you go talk to him? You're his first mate. And that was the first time that Zoro has acknowledged that he was part of the crew.
Yeah.
And I
question it.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's just like, okay, fair point.
That was a funny conversation that they had, or like, so non-conversation.
Yeah, it was like extremely short. No? To the point. Okay, good talk.
Tried. He won't. What does he come back and say? He's like, he won't tell me anything. It's like,
yeah,
didn't ask him.
Yeah.
He's not spilling the beans.
Yeah. He might as well just have gone over there and stood there and looked at him and then turn around and left.
Yeah. Yeah, he really should have. You good? Yeah. Yeah, goddamn, Mr. Battle. Okay. Good talk.
Yeah.
Whitney, what did you think of the beginning of this episode?
Yeah, I was, I think Keith brought up the point where it showed them all working together for the first time on the ship, boat, whatever it is, and how terribly awful they were, especially after that nice romantic heroic ending of the last episode where we're like, oh, they're together, they're on a boat for the first time and they're going after their dreams and this is going to be great, and then we see just how bad they are at working together.
Which way is port?
Right.
I hate that.
They don't know, like, Nami's the only one who knows where the directions are, and she's just bossing everyone around like she does in the anime. And,
I was gonna say that was pretty fitting.
That's pretty on point for her. Not, she's not as hateful, but you know, she's trying to direct and delegate everything. But I loved watching Garp and Luffy together for the first time, because I've said this before, I'm like, I don't know what Garp is doing, like, what is his motivation here? And we finally found out in the last episode, okay, well, that's his grandson, that's part of it, but it's funny to see his anger and to know that he was trying to raise him to be a Marine, and obviously we know Luffy did not go for that at all. And when he fights back here and blows himself up to shoot the cannon back at Garp's ship, Garp does this thing that I love, that maniacal laughter where he just leans over with his big eyes and just ha ha. But it's like, is he proud of him? Like, is that, was that a test of some sort that he was trying to see how well he could respond? And again, Scottish accent is like my favorite accent in the world, and so
not bad boy.
He goes, he's telling Luffy to give up, and Luffy does his never, and he goes, all right, you brat. I love it so much. And it just shows, like, when he says something like that, like, he knows Luffy, and it's just something that I would say, like, about my own kid, you know, in a joking way. I'd be like, all right, you little brat, you try me, you know. I just love that. And then speaking of them not knowing directions on the boat, I can't remember who makes the comment, but Luffy starts to smell the food in the fog, and he's like, you know, 45 degrees, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it's maybe Nami. She's like, you know, put some food in the equation, and suddenly he knows how to navigate. Of course, because we know that he's very food motivated, like most dogs are. And then, of course, the title card. I love every title card. I'm going to have to sit and rank them, I feel like, one day.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be really fun. Of course, you know, I love Zoro's, and it was one of my favorites so far. But I knew, watching the anime, what was coming by seeing this title card, and it got me really excited, because it's like, we're about to complete this first, you know, like, set of people. So that's really exciting to see.
I loved the quote that Nami had following the whole thing about, you know, as soon as you put food in the equation, he's a navigator or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because Zoro was like, do you think he has brain damage? And Nami's like, I think that every day. Like, I love the tiny little digs. Those, yeah. They absolutely crack me up.
Yeah, they have another one later on that's pretty good too.
Yeah, they've got a few of them in this episode. I really enjoyed them all.
Because if you think of a group that barely knows each other, and they're getting on each other's nerves, and they're in these high stress situations, it's such a real thing to hear little things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like that Zoro and Nami are very similar in their, like, cynicism and their mm-hmm. sarcasm and stuff, but Zoro's blind ambition is the one thing that sets him apart from Nami that way. But they both can do, like, a duo, like, 1-2 left punch, right punch, when it comes to how silly Luffy is.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can bond over that.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably their biggest bond, is their mutual understanding of Luffy, kind of. But at the same time, they're still trying to figure him out. And on Garp, you also touched on Garp's reaction too. I always thought that was really funny about, or, like, right after the mast goes down, just Garp's initial reaction, I was like, what the hell is he doing here? Because he does this, I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Just this frustration is making his body shake.
I know, he's like started shaking and like all of his veins are popping out. I'm like,
listen, if you have a kid and you've asked them a million times to do something and they don't, you will understand. Believe me, my neck veins have popped out several times in the past 12 years.
Okay, y'all ready to move on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The moment we've all been waiting for. Nami Smooth talks their way into the Baratie so they can skip the 3-week waiting list. In the kitchen, a young chef named Sanji gets in trouble for experimenting with the food. He is kicked off the line by Chef Zeff and forced to wait tables. Marine officer Iron Fist Fullbody gets into an argument with a pirate in the dining area. Sanji tries to calm the situation, but when guns are pulled, Sanji lays them both out quickly. He waits on the Straw Hats and aggressively hits on Nami. Back on the Marine ship, Garp refuses to get any help from another regiment. Instead, calls Hawkeye Mihawk, one of the 7 warlords of the sea and the greatest swordsman in the world. While on the phone with Garp, Mihawk takes out the entire Don Krieg pirate armada for waking him up from his nap. Whitney, we'll start with you. Since you went last on the last one, what did you think?
What did you think? I have so many notes for this part. I'm just gonna say, the Baratie looked so good.
It does.
They did such a good job. I love the scale of it, and you can see the scale because they show people walking in, and the ship is parked out front. And so you can kind of get a good grip on how big this place really is and how it can hold so many people. Because I feel like that's kind of hard to do in a cartoon where the scale might be a little off, but they just adapted it so well. Is the waiter, or not the waiter, but the host, is he a fish man? He looks like a fish man.
I think he is.
Questions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's not answer them yet. Sorry. But did you think he looked fish-like?
I thought, yeah, that's the way I took it.
Well, we've seen a fish man.
Yeah.
On the live action, we saw the guy who came to get Buggy.
Karubi, yeah, and we see Karubi, and we've seen Arlong.
Oh yeah, we did see Arlong for a minute. So there are people who have watched the live action are aware, but he does look fishy, and I don't remember him being in the anime. He very well could have been, but I thought that was a nice little touch to show that they are integrated into this society, and that people don't react to seeing them like they didn't really think, oh, well, it's a fish man, you know. Another little dig where Luffy and Usopp are trying to talk their way into getting a table, and finally Nami comes in and gives them some money and says, you'll have to excuse them, they're idiots. There we go. The relationships are being established already, right? I love watching Sanji cook. I think it's so much more engaging on the live action because it's real food. And, you know, if you watch a lot of cooking shows or baking shows like I do, it's just one of those things I love to see. And it's that fancy food where they do little eye drops of sauce around it, you know, that it's going to be one bite that you spent $500 on. And then he goes out to fight the guy. You said his name, the pink haired guy. He was such a jerk.
Iron Fist Fullbody.
So he's a Marine, Keith, that just happens to be at this restaurant when we first get to it in the anime. And he's a jerk, just like he was here. It's just way more blown up in the anime, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's pretty calm here.
Yeah. Sanji makes very quick work of the situation, basically, which I loved. And I love that they really engaged Sanji's style of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he likes to use his legs. He's a kicker. And the hands in the pockets, like they stuck with the hands in the pockets, which is so awesome because in the anime, he wears that suit or the pinstripe shirt, and his hands are in his pocket. He's that long, lanky, drawn character. They did it so well. I like, of course, you know, he's bitter because Zeff has kicked him off the line. And he comes out and he's like, what do you guys want at this trash restaurant? You want to eat, you know, this crap that we're serving. And then he sees Nami and everything changes, which I was really interested to see where we went with this, because we've talked about how much of a creep he can be in the anime. And I think they did it really well. They just kind of made him suave and smooth, which is fine to me. I think that's okay. He didn't say anything derogatory. He was complimentary without being creepy. But I just love that his vocabulary totally changed. His tone totally changed. And it was so cute when he walked away and they all teased her about it.
I loved that.
That was so funny.
A little innocent thing for them. Like, it was not a stressful situation. It was a nice little friendly exchange that you would do with your friends. And let's see, how far did you go?
We went to basically the introduction of Mihawk. So Mihawk and Garp on the phone.
Let me tell you what. Dracul Mihawk. I never knew that I could love someone as much as I loved him. You know, he was fine in the anime. Derek, I know you love him. I know. But on the show, I was just mainly focused on, like, this guy's, you know, going up against my favorite character. He's going to hurt Sanji or Zoro, and I don't like him. I love him in the live action. His style, his very bored, who's the quarry? Like, just, what do you want? What do you, you know, and killing somebody for waking him from his nap. I just love this guy. Like, I get you. And that whole scene with Don Krieg, fuck Don Krieg, what a loser. he made quick work of it. And I just, everything about that whole scene, the sword, oh my God, it has a name.
Yuru.
Yeah. Oh, huge, bigger than a lot of people. I love it. And just the moves that he did with it, the ship that he cuts in half, fantastic. And you hear that little Wilhelm scream of somebody falling off the ship. Amazing. And I love how because when Garp's on the snail phone with him, it cuts back to the snail, and you just hear Don Krieg screaming, but the snail's using his mouth. It's fantastic. Really, just such a good introduction. And they do it in such a good way where they're introducing two brand new people real quick. And I didn't feel overwhelmed with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally on board. And I was like, this is going to be interesting and great. So.
Okay. Amanda, we'll go to you next.
I was also very excited for Sanji.
Oh, we know.
Yeah. The kicks, that I love the kicks. I don't know. They looked great. And I liked the way that wherever they positioned the camera for that very first one, where his leg just goes straight up and kicks the gun out of the dude's hand. It was like lower, so you could see the angle of his kick better, I guess. I don't know.
It was right there at that intersection that you were looking at, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was crotch level. There we go. but I liked the touch of, like, he was carrying that tray of, like, bread rolls or whatever, and then he put him down to kind of take care of business and then picked him up and carried along. And I did like that scene where they're all making fun of Nami afterwards. Madam, would you like ice in your water, madam? And I also thought it was so funny that Luffy was like, I'll have milk. Big old glass of milk. What else? Yeah, I think they did. I agree with Whitney. They did Sanji's flirtatiousness a bit better here, because I feel like they could have really taken it to a level in the live action that maybe is less hard to do in an anime. Like, he could have looked at her, like, up and down. He could have been real creepy about that, but I think he kept his gaze, you know, on her eyes. we'll say that
need to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was like,
we say that as we're like talking about looking at,
I know,
crotch. That's so
sorry.
Not,
I don't
good.
Mean to objectify him. Or do I?
Apologies.
Yeah.
He can take it.
Yeah, it's fine. The Mihawk part I liked. And I liked that Krieg was minimal. He just did not have a part in this. And I assume that that's good for you, Derek, because you didn't like him either.
I fucking hate Krieg.
Is he universally hated by fans?
It's, mostly, yeah. Like,
Yeah,
pretty much.
And he's around so much longer in the anime. Like, for a painfully long time.
It's like five episodes or something. Four or five.
Yeah.
And he's a bitch.
Like, he has a big fight at the Baratier, and it went on and on.
It did. It went on too long. So I'm glad he's kind of not really in the picture here.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. And the actor who plays Mihawk has really just embraced people enjoying him. And so I don't know how much like TikTok he usually does, but it seems like he's putting out a good amount of these lately that I've been seeing. And so he did one where he says the same thing that he says here when he answers the call, and he's like, "Oh, I'm just killing some time." Mm-hmm. And he does that in his TikTok, and he just like, you know, eyebrows up at the, he's like, he's a funny dude.
I like the one, I don't know if you all saw it, but he was like, "You guys, I'm married." Like, he just gets all the thirst TikToks that are being made. There's so many. And if you react the right ones, you will see so many of them on your page, believe me.
I thought it was, because in the anime, I thought it was funny that they made a point to point out that the reason he's killing all of them is because they woke him from a nap. I was like, wow, he actually has like a reason. Because they ask him about it in the anime, and he's like, "I was bored." He was like, I loved it. Anyway, sorry, Amanda, go ahead.
I think that was all I had for now.
Okay. Keith, we'll go to you next.
Okay. So Sanji was obviously a standout awesome thing in this episode. But is anyone else reminded of Taron Egerton when they watch him?
Fair enough. Yeah, I can see it.
Movies? Like, he's just so, the posture and the confidence, and just kind of like, he's just very swarthy, and I was just impressed, and it just reminded me a lot of that guy. I was like, I was thinking for a good split second that I knew this actor. I've never seen him in anything before, and he's awesome. Yeah, I like the Mihawk character even more, I'd say, is the fact that he can just wave that sword and split a ship in half was really cool. Greatest intro ever. Plus his facial hair is on point. No,
literally.
I was gonna say.
And I really like the flirtatious line that Sanji used on Nami. Okay. He just says the something sweet for someone sweet, and she's just like, "Something wrong with your eye? Just blinded by your beauty." It's like,
no, I would have melted if somebody said that to me. That I'd looked like Kaz Skylar. I'd be like, "You want to go?"
I know. Yeah. It's just I don't need any water. Let's get out of here.
Oh.
Maybe later.
See, I thought Nami looked fucking fantastic in this episode. Damn, she looked good. I'd be flirting like that too if I was looking at her. Anyway,
it's the orange red hair.
No, because I think that too in like the little behind the scenes videos and stuff. When she's on those, actually, I think she looks better without the red hair. Like, she's her natural hair. Anyway, Keith, continue. Sorry, I like butted in there.
That's kind of it for this section. I mean, it's it was a very good, like you guys described. Like, I without seeing the anime, I don't know how they translated the restaurant itself. What? How do you pronounce it?
Baratier.
Yeah, Baratier.
Baratier. Yeah, the picture I just looked up of it looks insane, like the amount of levels they gave it. But yeah, it looked amazing in the show. Big fan. Okay. The set design in general in this show is
really, they've done great with the set design. Nice.
I think it looked, I liked what they did with the inside of it, because I think in the anime it was a lot brighter and it was lighter colored. It was more like, I don't know, whites or just lighter colors on the spectrum, but this was kind of like dark and wood kind of interior. Yeah.
Kind like of a like nice jazz, restaurant.
At yeah, night. Like jazz loungy a little bit. Yeah. And then I love the, we'll get to that, but the little like party bar that's in the mouth of the fish.
Yes.
I want to go there so bad.
Yeah. I'm sure that they have like a mock-up Baratier in Japan somewhere.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Let's go.
I bet they do. Like, because I know every single member of the Straw Hat crew has like a statue somewhere in Japan.
Whoa. What? That's super cool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hmm. Cool. I absolutely loved the scene of Nami getting made fun of by the crew. It was like the first time that all of them had really sat there and just like had a good time and was like meshing well together. And it wasn't, you know, it was just a good, lighthearted little scene. And I thought, I didn't realize it until I was watching the scene. I was like, you know, in the anime, it's very similar to where they're sitting around the table together and they're all having a good time. And that's really the first time they do in the anime as well. And so I was like, that's pretty reflective of the anime in that aspect. I mean, they were laughing for different reasons. Cause I think it was before Sanji even walked up, but still it was a very lighthearted scene and fun with the whole crew kind of blending together and, you know, and just having a good time. And then same with the scene with Sanji and Iron Fist Full Body. You know, Sanji kind of made himself known very quickly in both the anime and the live action. Like, he's a cook that has authority issues, but he's also kind of got like a smooth side to him. But if you cross him, he's going to kick your ass. Like, all of that is established very quickly. It's like within 5 minutes. So I liked that they kind of stuck with that. Agreed, what an introduction for Hawkeye Mihawk. I thought it was great. I was absolutely loving him, loving like the choreography that was going on, the scene with, or like the camera shot of him just standing there with all of the cannon explosions around him, and just like that massive hulking sword. And it was a cool looking scene. I was loving it. Keith already talked about the slicing of the ship and everything. And then I think one of the coolest things was whenever Krieg shot that cannonball at him and he cut it in half and hit the two guys behind him. Because I think he did something similar to that in the anime, but I think what he did is like when someone shot at him, I think he like used his sword to deflect the bullets at someone else. So I don't think he cut them in the anime. I think he just like deflected it off of his sword, but still it was really cool. I really, really liked it.
They had to one up the anime.
Exactly. I was thinking about that because I remember watching it in the anime. I'm like, it takes quite a bit of talent to be able to deflect bullets with your sword. But then seeing that scene, I was like, you know, I have to be pretty precise to get that edge right at the center of the ball to make it actually cut. So I think cutting the ball in half is more impressive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That hitting the two guys behind him, it's like, you got to be able to see the future to know what the hell is down there.
That's crazy. Oh, that's interesting.
Did he eat future fruit? What happened?
I didn't say future fruit. Anything else on any of the scenes before we move on?
Okay. I don't think so.
Luffy proposes a toast, and while he claims a victory over the Marines, Nami points out how poorly organized they were and how nobody knew what they were doing. Luffy tries to pay for his meal with credit, but Chef Zeff is not having it. He decides Luffy will pay for his meal through chores around the Baratier. Nami is obviously extremely frustrated that Luffy did not tell them his grandfather is a vice admiral, but Zoro and Usopp seem to not really care that much, though they do feel he should have mentioned it. Nami talks to a man in the bar about securing a passage for herself to the Konomi Islands. Kobe asks Helmeppo about Mihawk, and when he finds out the details of Garp requesting Mihawk's help, Kobe second guesses which side of the moral compass Garp is actually on. Back in the kitchen, Luffy works on dishes and talks about cooking and dreams with Sanji. Gein barges in starving, and Sanji makes him a quick meal. He's proven himself to be a great cook, an excellent fighter, and a good person. Luffy offers him a spot on the Straw Hat Pirates, but Sanji refuses. Gein explains to both of them that his captain had 50 ships and 5,000 men at his command, but they were still not able to handle the dangers of the Grand Line. Heath, we'll start with you.
I was really enjoying the conversation, especially with Sanji and Luffy talking about like regrets and the quote that Luffy says, I don't really do regret. And then he comes back with, sometimes when I try to look ahead, all I see is back. And mm-hmm. he smokes his little cigarette and he sits there all cool and you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, dissatisfied. It's got a very film noir kind of feel about him. I like it a lot. That's
pretty much Sanji.
Yeah.
All the time. Disgruntled.
Yeah. Disgruntled, yeah. Yeah, and it was just the two of them make a good, had a really good chemistry in that scene.
Cool.
Beyond that, the other thing with which part of, with Garp was it? It was just...
It was Kobe and me and Helmeppo talking about Mihawk and like the seven warlords. We get the drop of the seven warlords.
Is Kobe anybody else's least favorite character?
In the anime, he's awful. I like him more in the live action because they're doing more with him. They're making him likable.
Okay. Okay. Because yeah. I, from the beginning of the five episodes, I've been calling this kid Harry Malfoy.
Yeah.
I'm like really annoyed that he's only got one expression, which is like
fear, worry. Yeah.
That's a great imitation. I love it.
That's true to character, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
he's cool. Like constantly crying, though, in the anime. I feel like he's always just like his head is slightly back, and then it's just, you know, open mouth, and then tears, like just
one of those.
Eyes,
okay.
All the time.
Yep. Fair enough. Because I was like, he's like tied for me for like my least favorite, but I barely know Usopp, and I think Usopp was kind of redeemed in this episode as well, which I'm sure we'll get into. But yeah, I didn't like Usopp.
It's interesting that you think he ever redeems himself.
I just liked him more in this one. When I saw him in 3 and 4, I was like, you're annoying the shit out of me. But
I'm kind of the opposite of you here.
Oh okay.
I like him in this, because in the anime he's a coward, and I don't really have too much of a problem with that, but I know a lot of people don't like him in the anime, but he's a lot better in the live action.
Oh,
we know that you hate him.
Yeah.
I guess I was just referring to like which episodes. Like I feel like he was redeemable more in the mansion in Kuro's than he was in this, which I'll talk about later.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'll stop skipping ahead.
Damn it, Keith.
I'm not used to the like 10 minutes at a time part. This is a cool way to break it down.
Yeah, I thought it was a good idea to kind of like go see the scene and like, you know,
I skip ahead all the time. You're okay.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Naturally, like my brain wants to jump to another part because
absolutely. Sometimes they just, you know, they kind of connect, and it's easier to explain one part with something that happens in the future. Yada yada, all that bullshit.
Yeah.
Whitney.
How do Zoro, Usopp, and Nami get away with not paying, and Luffy doesn't?
Luffy paid for them with credit.
But they keep drinking throughout the night, like a crew.
That's true.
So are they just adding to the bill that he's washing dishes for?
Maybe.
Does Nami have her own money that she's paying for them? Because Usopp's getting pretty lit.
90 is plates per sip.
Yeah. Oh,
he's got all 4 straws in his mouth.
Tastes like candy.
I love that, because I've had drinks like that where it's like I don't even taste the alcohol, and then I stand up and I'm like, whoa.
I had one of those yesterday. It was very nice.
That's my favorite type of drink too. I'll just say it. How, okay, what I like that we can start to see Nami becoming a little vulnerable with this group.
Mm-hmm.
She starts to talk about herself a little bit. And you can see that she's becoming more at ease with them and letting things slip a little bit about herself. I like that they used Helmeppo for exposition to give us information about the warlords. It was a nice little dump of information, but not overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits so well because we met Mihawk here.
And he explained it well, too.
He did. It was not convoluted. And he said it in his character. Like he says, mm-hmm. you may know how to tie a knot, but you don't know shit about how the world works. And I was like, Helmeppo, like he kind of took me by surprise here because this guy sucks in the anime.
he seemed like he might.
And you know, Keith, this whole marine story that we're seeing is not in the anime that Amanda and I have watched yet. Like it's very, very little bits and pieces that we've seen. Like we've seen them training to become Marines, but not all of this GARP stuff, there's just a lot more character development that we're seeing with them. And I really like that because, you know, we all hate Helmeppo. He's a bad guy. We yada, yada, yada. But I'm like, okay, well, maybe he's coming around. I don't know. I could see maybe a character arc for him in the future that makes him a decent human being. I don't know if that's going to happen, but.
And the actor is playing this piece of shit part really perfect. Well.
Yeah. Perfect. A lot of the actors in the show are just excellent. Like I've had my nitpicks about the show, but none of it has been with the actors. Like the performances in this have been excellent.
Mm-hmm. The scene in the kitchen with just Luffy and Sanji was so nicely done. Because like Luffy, he always gets down to business to find out what's your dream, what's your goal. That's like the only thing he cares about, right? Because that's what he's doing. And Sanji just tells him, you know, he wants to find the All Blue and he's not satisfied being a waiter and being suffocated by Zeff. And he has this weird relationship with Zeff. And I think, you know, I know more about their relationship already, but people watching just this episode, it's like, what's the deal with these two? Like, is it kind of like a father figure where they just can't get along
keeps calling him like the old man, which to me sounds so much like, oh, is that his dad? Like, I keep just assuming that, but...
Right. And you see a lot of father figures in this show. Like, we've seen with Luffy and things like that. But it seems very tense between them. And is it because he's being stifled by Zeff? Like, what's the reasoning for that? I like that they keep throwing little hints at us about Sanji's true character and how good of a person he really is with the, you know, when he was fighting... Pink hair, what's his face? Tell me again. You told me already.
Iron Fist, full body.
Full body. He said, you know, we have two rules here. No fighting at Baratier. We don't waste food. And then again, when this pirate comes in from Krieg's armada, he's like, we feed everyone. And so it's kind of starting. It's like, well, he thinks it's important to feed everyone, but also follow his dreams. So maybe he's a pretty decent person that they're establishing. I like that they play the jazz music to go with his little film noir, like Keith said. I'm not a proponent of smoking by any means, but I love that they didn't cut that for this show because it's part of his character, right? He always has a cigarette in his mouth in the anime. That's just who Sanji is. I don't know, just little details like that really got me in. Like, I felt like I was there watching, you know, what I knew with Sanji.
Mm-hmm. I think
who's the guy, what's his name that works in the kitchen? He's got the blue hair. He was a total asshole in the anime.
Patty, right?
Yeah.
Patty. He is so much nicer in the live action. Like, he's like, you shouldn't feed that guy. Oh well, your funeral. Like in the anime, he's like a total douche.
Yeah. He's a
I'm telling. Tattled.
I'm in a tattle. Ain't no snitch.
I feel like Iron Fist full body, like his name, let alone how he looks, like he just, I feel like he's one of those people that would lead those weight loss routines, like the home exercise videos.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Hi, Bo.
I could Exactly, like a Ty Bo kind of guy. Like, I could totally see Iron Fist full body doing that.
Absolutely. And the iron pills, like metal, like the metal pills.
Yeah. What's his name?
And we're here. Iron Fist full body. Amanda, well, go for it.
I didn't have too much besides what Whitney was saying about everything. I think I liked the conversation with Nami and Zoro a lot because we didn't really get anything like that before. So it's kind of like the two crew members that are the like tough exterior, keep everything close to the vest people are the ones who are connecting with each other, which is kind of nice, or they're at least like attempting to.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, that Usopp's fishbowl, I want one of those.
He is having the time of his
life. I know this is later, but I'm just gonna say it now, that bit of him dancing is like my favorite part. I love that part.
Oh, good, so
this is what I mean. That's what I mean when I said he was redeemed for me in this episode. Like, he just laughs.
I mean, he
He's
does something dumb later, but
of course.
Yeah, just the Been sunglasses there. And the jacket with no shirt on him.
So great.
It's funny. I think, let's see. Oh, the Gein, that's his name, who comes in hungry. I like that they also cut this story way down, because we see the same thing, but it's drawn out for such a long time. But really, his purpose is just kind of, I think, to show the audience that Sanji's, again, like, making sure everybody gets fed no matter what. Like, he doesn't care about people paying for the food. He's just trying to feed everyone. And feed them well, make them nice food. And I liked that they did the fried rice dish here, because that's what he feeds him in the anime too. And like, they make a big show of him preparing it, and like, they, I think they, like, you know, give us a look at what it looks like in the bowl and everything. So they did that part really nice. Made me hungry.
can I make a note about that too? What cracked me up a little bit is this guy is like starving to death, and Sanji's like, let me cook you a quick 30 minute meal.
Yeah.
Like, give him a hot pocket or something.
It might not have taken that long, because the corned beef is already done.
That's, I think, fair, but I was just like,
done.
That meal's awful fancy for somebody who's starving to death.
Yeah. The guy's fine with just like raw spaghetti noodles. Like, I'll eat anything. It's really fine.
Right out of the fridge. Sanji's like,
Amanda, you will eat some fine ass cooking.
Yes. Amanda, that looked delicious. Like, I almost want to look and see if there's a recipe somewhere.
Oh, I bet there is.
I think there is like a One Piece cookbook or something like that.
There has to be.
Makes sense.
I can't.
I would be curious to see how they replace the elephant fin tuna.
Probably just tuna.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he used tuna in the beginning of this, and
it was elephant tuna.
I thought he used bluefin tuna. Mm. Is that a real tuna?
Bluefin tuna is a real tuna. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe just
I kept getting confused, because it was like true. I thought it was true bluefin, but then it was like true fin blue something. I'm like, what is the word? It's tuna. I don't know.
I caught it because it was like, he mentioned elephant fin tuna, which in the Logtown arc, he wins that elephant fin tuna in the cooking competition. So I was like, cool, that's like a little callback or whatever, or, you know, it's like a little call to the anime. Anyway, go ahead.
I think that was it. That's about where we stopped, so I'm okay there.
Did we get to the drinking game they play yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
So there's my note about Nami looking great. So I'll just go ahead and say it again. Nami looks absolutely fantastic.
She's hot.
Yeah.
Not my type, but that's okay.
And then we get to the little line that Keith kind of mentioned earlier, where Nami was like, I don't know how many naval battles you guys have been a part of. And Usopp just throws right out there, 2 dozen at least. Like,
it was so effortless what he said.
I know.
Threw it in.
as much as I hate to admit it, that sounds exactly like me. Like, that's exactly something I would say.
Is that why you hate him so much? Because you guys are so much alike.
That's definitely not it.
Rejection.
Competition. So
I get Luffy is extremely confident that he's going to become king of the pirates, but that was pretty ballsy of him to assume that the Baratie would essentially accept his confidence as credit.
He was just, like, he got lost in the moment.
Oh, he was like, oh yeah, it was, like he just said a little bit ago, it was effortless. Just wrote his name. There you go. Didn't second guess it at all. Like, he was just completely ready to back it up.
His reaction to that cracked me the fuck up. Who the hell is Monkey D. Luffy? I love him.
And Sanji got so excited because he knew as soon as he saw that receipt, he's like, oh, this is about to be fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. Zeph is capable
of. Oh, yeah. I was kind of waiting for my favorite, for one of my favorite lines. It's definitely my favorite line in the Baratie arc in the anime. So, Keith, in the anime, Luffy is absolutely awful at doing chores and stuff like that. So basically, every dish he touches, he breaks. Okay. And so Patty, the guy that was in the kitchen with the blue hair or whatever, mm-hmm. like walks up to him and he's like, hey. How many dishes have you broken? And Luffy just goes, you know what? I forgot to count. I really wanted that line.
That's a good line.
El Meppo explaining the warlord's process. I really like the way that they did that. And I thought that Kobe's like upset reaction to it just kind of explains or like, yeah. Keith's doing a great job of it right now. I thought it brought a good understanding of the severity of the seven warlords process, knowing that there's seven major pirates out there that can essentially do whatever the hell they want as long as the world government, you know, or like as long as they go whenever the world government calls every once in a while. Like, it's not even frequent, it's just here and there.
Well, and isn't it like a few episodes ago when he first realizes that the Marines weren't the good guys in that situation with mm-hmm. the little girl in El Meppo, and it's kind of like destroying his view of what he's trying to be by realizing that there's corruption in mm-hmm. the world government, yeah. And it's like it's kind of dashing his dreams a little bit, which is kind of sad to see because, you know, he has these lofty dreams and wants to be a good person and keep people safe. And then he's like, well, these guys aren't even doing that legally and correctly. They're dirty. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of sad to see his reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cause he was, you could tell he was feeling pretty destroyed with all this going on with Mihawk too, until he sat down and talked to Garp. And I think that made him feel a lot better, which it makes sense that a conversation with Garp makes everything feel better because Garp is the best. I really liked that, like, you're starting to figure out pretty quickly, like, I know they've shown a couple little things to it in a few episodes now with Nami is like hiding something, and it was becoming more obvious here that she is as well, and Zoro is picking up on it. Like, he doesn't know what's going on, but he knows something's up. Now Usopp and Luffy are pretty like oblivious to it, but Zoro is definitely picking up. Yeah, they're like, eh, it's whatever. And I liked, that's one thing that I was glad that Gein was still around for in the live action, because it's kind of in the anime, Gein's reaction to Mihawk is how we find out who Mihawk is. Like, he's one guy that took out over 5,000 men and 50 ships by himself. Like, you know, you get the severity of Mihawk through Gein talking in the anime. And not only that, but the severity and the dangers of the Grand Line, knowing that such a massive pirate fleet and at the time it feels like a big pirate in Don Krieg, basically got chewed up and spit out by the Grand Line. And so all of that comes from Gein's reaction in the anime. So I like that they still brought him in here to kind of get that explanation and get his experience of the Grand Line and still getting the, you know, figuring out how dangerous that this place actually is that Luffy's excited for. So yeah, I mean, all these scenes, I thought they were pretty good. Anything else before we move on?
I had something silly. The guy that Nami is trying to get passage from,
yeah,
he looks like totally like they just pulled this guy out of some like beach resort hotel lobby or something. Like, he totally doesn't look like he's wearing like a tropical shirt, but he looks so out of place. I don't know what it is. He's just wearing normal clothes, not wearing pirate clothes.
I'm kind of curious to know what Keith thinks about Nami after watching these 5 episodes. Do you think she has good intentions? Do you think she's going to betray them somehow? I mean,
I kind of do, but obviously a part of me wants her to, like, obviously, like, friendship should prevail in some way. I do feel like that's what they're setting up, is that she's going to betray them and have to make that choice, same as she makes one in the end of this episode. But
mm-hmm.
I'm just laughing at the fact that Zoro, like, thought he could challenge her to a I know you better drink off when we haven't even gotten a flashback episode for her yet.
Right, fair.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, actually. At this point, we have no idea if she's telling the truth or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Keith, let me ask you this. Do you think if we had a flashback episode for her, do you think Zora would have won?
Absolutely.
Just because we had the flashback.
At Netflix, they have to subscribe if they want to be in the series. They have to watch it. Yeah, to watch everything. Yeah.
That's a great answer. Anything else?
We should do that. That might be fun, actually. If we like
subscribe to Netflix.
No. If we do that game with each other and we have to take a shot if somebody guesses the wrong thing about
us. Oh shit!
I like that. I talk one away for later. Myself,
I was gonna say I would.
I know. I think we know each other pretty well, but we can still try.
That would make for a good episode. 100%.
Son of a bitch.
Do it.
Last episode.
Season finale. Yeah.
Do it.
It'll be 5
do the
hours
whole
long.
Episode.
Yeah. We're just gonna be like, yep.
Mm. About this. Do you know this about me?
You're my best friend. Listen. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You're my best friend.
Just finger up to the camera.
Why do all drugs try to shift other people?
Because they think they're talking, they're that drunk that they think the other person's saying anything. Just
give it a little
universal.
Zoro, Nami, and Usopp continue to relax while they wait for Luffy to finish his chores. Nami and Zoro decide to play the Tyrion Lannister drinking game to see who knows more about the other. Toby confronts Garp about Mihawk. Garp does a great job explaining that while it is unfair, the world is not a simple place, and the same set of laws do not apply to everyone. You have to adapt and figure out how much of it you can tolerate as Marine. A drunk Usopp runs his mouth at the bar about their naval battle and how heroic he was. As the camera pans, Hawkeye Mihawk stands right next to him and wants to meet his captain, Straw Hat Luffy. Zoro recognizes him and challenges him to a duel. Nami is not happy and demands Zoro cancel the duel. She asks Luffy to back her up, but understanding it is Zoro's dream to be the world's greatest swordsman, Luffy has his back instead of hers. So I'm going to go ahead and go first here on this one. I really liked Garp's speech about the way of the world and some of the people in it. And there was like a light toss in there that I also really enjoyed, because it's something that you kind of have to gather from the anime over a longer period of time. And it's not said outright for a while anyway, that Garp is strong enough and like has built enough of a reputation, he could be a much higher rank than Vice Admiral right now. But he's turned down promotions because going any higher means he has to work for certain people he does not want to work for. And he doesn't want to have to listen to and obey and all that stuff. So Vice Admiral is as high as he's ever going to go in the Marines. And so I like that they explain that there. Luffy in the scene with Nami, Zoro, and Luffy on the Mary, and like Nami trying to talk Luffy into having her back and telling Zoro not to fight. And Zoro was like, "Hey, what did I tell you back in the fort?" I really liked that Luffy was repeating everything back to Zoro. I thought it was, one, it was funny.
It was.
But two, it also, I started thinking about it. I was like, that just shows you how much Luffy was paying attention to everything Zoro said.
Yeah.
And so I really liked that as well, because that's really Luffy. Like, sometimes he kind of seems like he's not paying attention to anything and like stuff isn't serious, but he's listening. He's paying attention. He's not going to forget the stuff that, you know, stuff like that when someone's talking to him. He does not forget that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Nami objecting so hard to Zoro's fight with Mihawk really shows how much she cares about the crew at this point. And I liked that quite a bit. And Zoro threw it back in her face pretty hard. And I felt bad for her on that.
Yeah.
But he even took her out of context too, because he mentioned something about, why do you care? And she said, because you're my friend, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you said yourself, you don't have any friends. And that's not what she said. Because I actually went back to the scene where they were talking during the drinking game. Because Zoro mentions he had one friend. And Nami responded, that's more than I had, as in past tense, not have now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Good catch.
Yeah. So I started thinking about that. I was like, that's not what she said. Like, so I felt bad for her that he threw that back in her face kind of that hard. And like when he was talking about earlier with Nami kind of being a little bit more vulnerable with Zoro here, and like she's finally starting to open up a little bit, and as soon as she does, she gets it thrown in her face, and that sucks.
Yeah.
So I hated that for Nami, but Whitney, we'll let you go.
Yeah, I think that was really touching to start to see, because we've seen her starting to become vulnerable this episode. And she is really adamant about Zoro not going through with this duel. And that line that she said that you mentioned, because I'm your friend, you idiot. He was just so serious in this scene. And I can see, when I sit and think about why Zoro reacted this way, I can see why, because we know his backstory. We know that he lost a friend that he made an agreement with, and that's very important to him. And now this situation just so happens to present itself where he can prove that he's the best swordsman in the world and fulfill his dream, not just to him, but to Kuina. I understand the seriousness there, but like, he didn't have to be like that, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
People say things when they're angry or serious or worried. I get that. But Nami is so, I'm not going to say too much about her because Keith doesn't know yet, but like, this kind of just cemented her. She was wishy-washy about whether or not she was going to stay. And I feel like that just cemented the fact that she was like, okay, well, I tried this. It didn't work. Maybe these people don't care about me as much as I thought after all. And mm-hmm. I'm wasting my time anyway. So that was really sad to see. But oh my God, Usopp caused all these problems because his drunk ass could not keep his mouth shut. And this is what I was talking about earlier when I found him redeemable last episode, because I know he didn't fight, but he knew the passageways, even though Derek didn't agree with me. He knew how to get out of there, and he stayed with Kaya even when he was the most scared that he's ever been. And we know that he's a coward, and he chose to stay with her and the whole group regardless of that. And here he doesn't think before he says anything. Like, he immediately, when they got to Baratie, he's like, you wouldn't give us a table for the future king of the pirates? I mean, he doesn't care who could be looking for them or what, who could be listening. And there were Marines there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, they didn't say Fullbody was a Marine, but mm-hmm. he was, like, we know that he was. And he just, they took down a Marine base. So, like, people are looking for them, and he's just not thinking because he's never done this before. He's never been in this situation, and it's real life or death at this point for the crew. So it really made me, and I knew he was going to do it. That has to happen to further the story, but obviously I was so frustrated with him. I'm like, shut up, Usopp. but that's typical him, I think.
Agreed.
I wonder, so we know that the Marines are not this holier than thou group now. Mm-hmm. And so I think Garp is such an interesting character because, like, every episode I was like, is he good? Is he bad? Is he both? Because I didn't know his motivations till last episode when I realized, oh, it's his grandson. He's going after him. But then even when he started chasing him and we knew that, I was like, well, is he trying to get him back? Or is he trying to prove something? Is he testing him? And then we see him using a warlord, which is kind of corruption in Kobe's mind, at least. He's like, what is the world really? I don't understand this. But then we hear Garp telling Kobe, like, this is just how it is. This is what I have to do to make sure I can do some good in the world. So at this point, I'm kind of like, what does everybody think? Is he a good Marine? Is he really doing this because he wants to do good and that's the only way he can do it? I mean, I don't know. What do you all think about that?
I'm going to stay out of it.
I think that's accurate. I liked that conversation between Garp and Kobe, because this whole time, obviously, we've been seeing that Kobe just wants to do the right thing and help people, but he's finding out that it's not maybe what he thought. And then now he's like, oh no, Garp is like this too. But then he doesn't directly say it, but in the story or the stuff that Garp is explaining, I think it kind of comes across that he's on the same kind of page that Kobe is, and that he does want to do at least better than what the other Marines are doing. So he's kind of like misguided, but still trying to do things, like, because he's doing things his own way. That's a little bit sketchy, but it sounds like he's doing things his own way to avoid it being the bad way. Yeah.
Like, is there a greater cost if you don't go through it this way? Are you doing it to kind of prioritize, like, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to do some bad things, but it's to keep the even worse things from happening?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And then he tells him, I think, is this the point where he tells Kobe, he's like, looks like that uniform's fitting you pretty well after all.
Yeah, that's here. Yeah.
And so then I'm like, okay, well, if Luffy couldn't be his protege, is Kobe his new protege? Like, is this his new stand-in grandson that he's training to be a Marine in his own image?
The grandson he never had.
The grandson he never had. Right. I hope Kobe grows up to just be this, like, badass one day.
I know. I hope he takes over the whole Marines and, like, makes everybody good, and that's the end of it. And then if they're not good, then he hires Mihawk to just annihilate the rest of them.
Yeah. Love it. I want to meet the other six warlords, though, too.
Yes.
Yeah. We've met one in the anime, just barely.
Number seven, right?
I forget who that is.
It's our main antagonist that we're getting ready to go up against in the anime.
Oh, okay. Oh, is he a warlord?
He is. Yeah. Yeah, remember they made a big deal about it at Whiskey Peak when Zoro fought all of those bounty hunters, and they were like, wait, he's a warlord?
Okay.
Yeah. So we know two warlords right now, and we know the name of the third, but we haven't met him yet.
Yeah, I think I know the third you're talking about. We've heard his name, and I think
Jinbei.
Never mind. Oh, yeah. Oh, I was going to say something, but Derek doesn't watch every episode and Keith is only on five. So never mind.
Sorry to hold you back.
No, it's not you. It's Derek.
It's me. So you Keith, I'm watching as I'm watching one episode a week. So I've only gone through episode 5 as well. I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I'm watching them as we record.
There we go. We're on the same page.
See,
as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
don't know anything more about the lore or the anime at all, and we're on the same page.
Exactly the same.
Keith, we'll go to you.
So, first off, Helmeppo is not in this part at all, but someone mentioned Game of Thrones, and last episode you guys compared Helmeppo to Joffrey. He's even more like Viserys from
Winter. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. To me, he just seems so whiny, and he's tall and lanky. And
yes.
Like,
and
so
like even the blonde hair, too. Yeah, Viserys exactly is a better fit.
Thank you.
Damn.
I've been thinking about that ever since I got off work.
I really wish that it was the same actor that was Viserys playing Helmeppo now.
He looks wildly different. I saw him in something else. I was like, holy shit, is it that dude?
I haven't seen him in anything since. As far as the scene with Kobe finding out from Garp, like the layers to it. Kobe's on a journey like a kid with their first nesting doll. He's pulling off layers and layers. He's going, oh, I want to be a Marine. Oh, the Marines are corrupt. Oh, wait, there's people inside the corruption that manage the corruption and pick the lesser of two evils kind of thing. It's like, yeah, that's shit. You're learning the world, man. You're learning the world from the side of the, you know, lawmakers kind of. It's interesting. I like that about Kobe's journey in this episode. The other thing I was going to say, the Nami, whether or not she's going to betray them or not, I've just remembered the line earlier when they are getting interacting with the Marines at the beginning of the episode that she says, I can't get caught, not when I'm so close. So she's clearly on a secret mission, and we know that, but like, okay, getting caught by the Marines, do they know about this? Maybe they don't know her by name, but maybe they know about this mission and they'll stop her? Or like, will it take down the Marines in some way? Yeah, I'm curious. It makes me, I need more flashback for her big time. It just makes me ask more questions. The Luffy scene. Okay, so there, the three of them are talking, Zoro and Nami and Luffy, about whether or not he should do it, and Luffy takes Zoro's side. I love the idea that, yes, he believes in everybody seeking after their dream, and that's going to be his number one mission in life, is to just keep meeting people and finding out their dream and helping them achieve it. But this one could get him killed, so Luffy's going to feel extra shitty, I feel like, and maybe recalibrate his policy on dreams and following them. I'm very excited to see the lesson learned, or some kind of arc come out of that for him. Because his whole policy up until now has been like, oh, what's the harm? You got to go for your dream. But now he's got a friend who might die. So
I'm trying to remember if they mentioned that in the first episode or in the first episode or not. So in the very first episode of the anime, when Kobe and Luffy meet for the first time, because I know Luffy definitely gives a bigger speech in the anime than he does in the live action, because that was one of my nitpicks in the first episode, was Luffy's fantastic speeches were not there. But because that was one thing he tells Kobe in the anime for sure. He's like, look, being king of the pirates is my dream, and I don't care if I have to die to get there. Like, he's ready to lay his life on the line. So I think that is part of it here, where he knows Zoro can die, but he's giving Zoro the same, you know, the same thing he would do.
I feel like it would be almost a better service to the character in general to have that, like, there's the self-worth thing, or like looking at it as, oh, my own dream could kill me, but that's me making that choice, so it's up to, you know, and being fine with it. But it's like, oh, now it's someone I care about and I've come to have a friendship with, and it's like, that should in his head make him like really conflicted with even being okay with people fighting for their dreams until they die, like if it's gonna cause them harm. I don't know, I'm excited for that, and I think the show will tackle it. It seems like that kind of a show.
Okay. Huh? Go ahead, guy. What? Crossing your fingers for what?
I was crossing my fingers. Yeah, I was like, I'm hoping that it gets brought up in Luffy's future.
Oh, Oda's a great storyteller. He does not let anything go to waste most of the time. Whitney, we'll go to you.
We already went.
Yeah, I was like,
oh shit. Sorry, my bad.
Uh oh.
Jeez.
You don't have like a little abacus next to you?
No, I don't. I'm just panic. I like
panic.
Shit. Amanda.
Let's see. I already kind of touched on the Kobe and Garp conversation, so I don't have too much else. Usopp, just, he didn't need to say Luffy's entire government name out in the open like that, so that was dumb. But he did, at least they got a nice, not that he was aware, but Nami and Zoro got that little dig on him earlier where they called him a frantic, uncoordinated sea slug.
Ooh, nice.
So yes, I think that was fitting. And oh yeah, again, I noticed, I think it happened before, or I brought it up before, but Garp's snail phone is taking a little nap while he's having that little chat with Kobe. Just
it's so Flintstones. Closed.
It's these very
snail
funny.
Phones.
Yeah. I like that.
You love him, Keith. You know you love him.
I do. That's what I mean. It's like there's no line that they can't go, okay, let's make it weirder. Like, it's already so weird, and I like that.
When Matt was on in our first episode, he hated them.
Yes, well, that he's a different beast. Yeah. he also probably wouldn't wear these headphones.
That's probably also true.
Oh my god, snail headphones.
Aw.
Now I gotta get them.
Like, the side is a little snail shell. That's cute.
And they're slimy.
Oh, it's two snails, and like each ear covering is a shell, and then they meet the middle and kiss on top of your head.
Oh. So romantic.
Do it. Make them.
Somebody out there, do it. I'll buy it.
Okay, so you have one sale.
Yep. I'll buy one. Rusty, you know how long it's going to take sales. To make it?
A long time. They have to get two snails to pose kissing so they can make it.
Love it. And I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to send it to Matt.
Go ahead, Amanda.
Just the only other thing I had was, I understand Zoro, and he wants to do this whole thing for his dream, but it's real dumb.
Yep.
I mean, it's just a bad move. Like, obviously, this isn't going to go well. Similarly with what Keith was saying with Luffy, like, you got to draw the line somewhere about, you know, this is clearly dangerous. And I mean, I get it, because Zoro's just so, I don't want to say tormented, but he's just like, this whole thing with Kuina has followed him for such a long time. And I think I wonder if he more wants to do it for himself or for her. Maybe it's both. I mean, I'm sure it's both, but like, what, you know, which maybe the level of importance changes day to day. But it's just like, he does this. He makes stupid choices.
Yeah.
For his, you know,
I mean,
he's not, he wants, private. But
yeah, I mean, just think about it a little bit.
I mean, he's going against Hawkeye Mihawk. It's a first class ticket to get your ass whooped.
I want to know if anyone watching this show thought he was going to win.
So
once the fight started.
Did you think he was going to win in the anime?
I mean, I thought it was a possibility.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I guess, I don't know.
I don't know. I thought maybe something could happen, like some fluke.
Okay.
But, I mean,
Amanda, you were giving a very serious thinking face.
I think it might have been, like, I wasn't sure that he would win, but he seemed like a main character, and I assumed that he was gonna make it somehow. Mm-hmm. So that might have been made it less drastic in my mind.
Or maybe it was gonna be a draw of some sort and they would have a rematch later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I didn't think he was gonna be seriously injured.
Right. Yeah,
you didn't think he was gonna be cut in half,
and that's why I was so angry.
It looked, so that was the, It actually, like, they didn't make his wound look as serious in the live action as they did in the anime. It looks worse in the anime.
Didn't he get cut across both sides?
I think it was just one side, but it's just like a much deeper and larger cut in the anime. Like, he's basically cut in half.
It looked pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
I see that. You see, you could get away with that more in anime. Same thing with, like, punching a kid on the beach, making a little boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Do that in live action.
More acceptable.
Shut up.
Because that's the first, like, that happens the first time we ever see in the anime Garp and Luffy, like, on screen together. Garp just lays Luffy the puck out, just drops his ass.
Wow. What an opener.
Oh, I know. It's great. Keith, did you think that Zoro was going to win the fight with Mihawk? I mean, I know we're not quite there yet, but, I mean, when he brought it up, we'll roll with it.
Well, I think it seemed too early, and for us to get shown Mihawk so overpowered with the ships in half, I was just like, I haven't seen Zoro do this yet. But he is good. Let's see what happens. But yeah, it felt more like they were setting up for like a good revenge or a good comeback kid kind of thing. He's gonna train and then he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I hope, anyways.
Okay, so the sun rises and Nami goes to meet the man that will take her to the Konami Islands. Zoro steps up to face Mihawk. He pulls out two of his blades as Mihawk pulls out a small dagger. Zoro is clearly outmatched by Mihawk's skills. One final charge and Mihawk shatters two of Zoro's swords, leaving only the Wado Ichimonji. Even though the margin of skill was not close, Zoro earned Mihawk's respect. Between Zoro's skill and character shown, as well as Luffy's conviction in his attitude during the confrontation, Mihawk decides to leave without taking Luffy. Laying on the ground with his chest completely carved up, Zoro vows to Luffy that he will never lose another fight until the day he beats Mihawk. Keith, we'll start with you this time.
Oh, man. Well, first thing you said, when he decides to leave without taking Luffy, I remember him, the whole mission was to bring home the captain. he's like, not only did I fight the wrong person, but I'm also not going to do this either.
I mean, he's like,
why is he abandoning his mission?
He fucking rules.
He's a warlord. He's like, fuck Garb.
I do what I want. I need
my beauty sleep. Yeah.
He liked his hat.
Yeah,
he did like it. He said, "I do like your hat." What was it he said?
I have it wrote down because he said, "I'm surprised the Marines would require my services for such a small package, though I do like your hat."
Yeah. Ooh.
And the fight was amazing. Obviously, it just I love when Zoro puts the sword in his teeth, and then when he starts spinning the blades, that was like. All of it was just so beautiful and well choreographed. And then to see him actually, earn Mihawk's respect in being brave, now he's willing to kill him with his big sword. <It's> like, okay, that's a shift in character in just a couple seconds. I liked that a lot. He proved himself. Yeah. I don't really have much more about part other than it just felt so hilarious, the last burst of promise that he's made at the end of the episode that he's not going to lose another fight, and then he just, and you're like, oh, hey, you all right, buddy?
Yeah. You all right?
You good?
You gotta make that, you gotta finish that promise. Yeah.
Whitney, what about you?
Yeah, the sword fight was really good. I think all the sword fights Zoro has done have been all really, really awesome. I noticed that because we know he puts on his bandana when he's getting ready to really, do the three
to get serious. Hit. Yeah.
Did you also notice he had some banging eyeliner on?
Yes.
I've never noticed that before, but I was like, hell yeah. And his eyes look so good.
It was when he got stabbed with the lil sword.
Yeah.
Because they went close on the side of his face and you could see like the dark underneath.
Oh, and his gorgeous skin. I was so jealous. Oh. Keith, I was with you. Listen, I love Zorro. I love the actor, but that last, like, I will never lose again.
I know.
Yeah.
It was a little, it kind of gave me, what is it people say? It gave me the ick. I had the ick.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably very incorrect what I just, how I use that. But it just struck me kind of weird when he did mm-hmm. that. I don't know. I don't know how else I would have done it. And it was like mixed signals, because he's like, I'm going to kill you with my big sword. Well, it's not the right time for you to die. And then he says, I'll never lose again. And you're like, oh, yay. And then he's like, bleh, on the dock. And it's like, is he dead? Is
that
he
was not? A great explanation of the episode, Whitney.
Thank you. I'm going to start giving the recaps now, Derek.
You're going to give the recaps? Okay.
And then he was like, ugh.
And then he went, ugh. And then he was like, no.
And then clink, clink.
Clink, clink, clink. Yeah.
I wasn't so much cringing at it as like, I was impressed by the level of silliness that still seeps into this very high stakes, very like extreme
yes.
level show. And it's like, the silliness is there. I've never seen an anime adapted to live action and be able to skirt that line successfully. It either goes really wrong or they get too serious and it doesn't feel anything like the original. It just,
mm-hmm.
You live in this world of between take me seriously and also don't lose the sight of the fun. And it can be lost pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like especially right before that, it was kind of a sad line in delivery, because he's looking at Luffy and mm-hmm. he's like, you'll be disappointed in me if I fail, yeah. or whatever he said, and mm-hmm. that was like really upsetting. And then he does the it whole is. Like, no, never, and then collapses.
Oh, I forgot about that just because of that last line. But yeah, he did say that to Luffy, and that was very touching, because like we talked early in the episode, that he's first mate. He recognizes that now, and he cares about disappointing Luffy. And I think that that's kind of taken the place of disappointing Kuina. He didn't want to disappoint her. And so now he's got Luffy. The only friend he had is gone. And so now mm-hmm. he has more, and he doesn't know what to do
mm-hmm.
with that situation.
Might be that line earlier in the season of when he says, you believe in him, and he's like, no, he believes in himself so much it rubs off. Just mm-hmm. like that. That was a good mm-hmm. way of putting it.
That's yeah. a great line. Fucking Kabaji, I swear.
Super hot though.
Mm-hmm. Cool haircut.
The abs.
When did you have anything else?
Unicycle. Oh, every time.
There.
No, that was it. Except, I will say, having Nami there was nice.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't stand out for me as being weird. And it was nice to see her show back up. I mean,
I liked that she held Usopp's hand too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
Cause she wasn't there, Keith, when this happened in the anime.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Is it though?
She was with those two idiots, right?
She wasn't on the dock with them when the fight happened. So it's kind of nice to have her there.
Was she with, I don't remember their names, but Zoro's two friends?
Johnny and Yosuke.
That was that same time.
Those
right?
guys were so fucking annoying. I'm so glad they're not in there.
I forgot they existed.
I figured you would like that they were not.
Thank God. Now that you said that, I'm so glad they're not there.
And you know, someone we never brought up over the last two episodes is Jango.
Yeah. Well, kinda,
he's so silly, though. That's a bit yeah. too silly.
So, in the anime, Keith, there is a character named Jango, and Oda modeled him off of Michael Jackson.
Like, later Michael Jackson.
Like, he's a hypnotist, and all he does is moonwalk all over the place. And when he tries to...
Glove.
Yeah,
if he's
got the glove
people,
and everything.
Is he really able to moonwalk? Maybe he's just making people think he's moonwalking.
That's the thing, is when he tries to hypnotize people, he always accidentally hypnotizes himself too.
And he just passes out.
But he makes the noises and everything. Like
he's like like Kuro's top dog. So it was interesting. Huh. Or top cat. but yeah, so it was interesting that Jango is not in Sura Village. Anyway. Amanda.
I think I pretty much covered everything. Okay. I liked how, I mean, we all said that we liked how the fight was choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
But they did this twice, I think. They framed Zoro very well, I thought, because he, the first time that he's getting ready to go, and he like pulls out both swords and he like kind of, you know, crosses them over himself.
It looks badass when he does it too.
Yeah, it's like he's framed in the doorway of the Baratier with the two like mermaid figureheads that are on the sides, and it just looks great. And then he does that again later with the third sword. And
wait till he whips out the fourth sword.
Oh Jesus. After dark.
The One Piece.
Yeah, the One Piece.
Oh, is that the One Piece?
So, Zoro's dick is the One Piece. We've got it figured out, Oda.
Yes.
And it also wears eyeliner.
Oh. Yeah. Where?
What?
On the eye.
Fucking shit.
And it has a wing, winged eyeliner.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad that's where we went. That's great.
I'll bring it back. I had one last thing, and it was just a quote that I liked that Mihawk said. When he pulls out his little sword, he says, "I don't hunt rabbits with a cannon."
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
And everything he says is so bored sounding. I just love that.
I know.
Rabbits with a cannon.
Yeah,
yeah. Every... go look at his TikTok. It's really amusing.
Oh, I do all day, every day, girl.
I am curious on his TikTok now. I bet it's Steven really funny.
John Ward, I think that's his name.
He does really good impersonations, too, and he can do different accents.
Oh, yeah.
And different actors.
He is nice. South African, I want to say.
Is he?
I think so.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to look into
it. Very diverse group. I know that the one playing Kobe is from New Zealand, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he was also in The Evil Dead Rises.
Yeah.
Which people were giving him so much shit for. I thought was the most annoying character just because he let out the evil, but somebody has to do it.
Well, you have a movie, dude.
Somebody needs to let it out, so it might as well be him.
Why are you even watching? Shut up.
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
I'm so glad we're defending Mihawk. So... The fight with Mihawk and Zoro, of course, the choreography, as always with the sword fights in the live action, was great. And I thought they did a great job of separating the, like, and showing the margin of skill. Mihawk is vastly, vastly better than Zoro. And there were a couple of Zoro's lines where... they were fine. Like, it felt like a lot of what he was saying was summarized compared to what he said in the anime. Like, the, you know, his little speech at the end about, you know, he's never going to lose again and stuff, that was pretty summarized for what he says in the anime, and I do like his anime speech better. Like, I thought the emotion hit more in the anime than it did in the live action. It was still good, but just not as good, in my opinion. I liked that Nami was still there. I was kind of, it was a pleasant surprise. And like I said, I already liked her holding hands with Usopp, just kind of, you know, knowing that the crew is kind of having a tough time right now. There's a, when Mihawk stabs Zoro with his dagger, and he asks, why do you not retreat? And Zoro's line was, "I can't, or my dream will be lost forever." And that was another one where it was like, it's basically saying the same thing, but in the anime, it was just a few extra sentences. And I thought the anime was a little bit more impactful because he mentions, he's like, because in the anime, he says, "I've never backed down from a fight, and even taking one step back in retreat is not something I'm willing to do." And it's not something I can do if my goal is to be the best. So it's like, it's basically saying the same thing. It's just a little bit more fleshed out. But overall, I really, really liked this episode, and I liked this fight with Mihawk and Zoro. I thought they did a great job on Mihawk. And yeah, I mean, it was a great episode. They really nailed this Baratier arc for sure, or at least this first part of it. And Whitney, I want to ask you now, because we've kind of finished reviewing this particular episode, and I know you mentioned before we started recording that the thing that you thought I would like in this episode was it Don Krieg dying pretty much instantly?
Yeah,
it was. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. As soon as I saw it happen, when I watched these episodes weeks ago, I told Amanda, I was like, oh, I know he's going to like something.
I was really glad.
And I feel like it was probably in our group chat, so I didn't say what it was, but I was like, there's one thing he's going to love, because I know so much. And they just made really quick work of him.
They did. They made him seem like the little bitch he is.
But he looked perfect.
He did. He looked great.
Yeah, he did. He looked
just like the anime with the little guns. Like, he basically, Keith had all these like weapons built into his body suit of armor.
Whatever. Yeah, it was like he was basically Iron Man.
He thought he was the shit.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Yeah. Well, it makes me happy that this show started. So what year did the anime come out?
Like 98.
Yeah,
98. I think it was the first episode.
They've had so much time to see, especially during coming out in 98, when, you know, the birth of the internet being popular in your home, and I mean, like a lot more people could get their hands on forums and be able to share their opinion online. Mm-hmm. The creators of this live action show have so much to work with, finding out like what characters can we completely just turn down the volume on and like give very little time because people hated them or whatever. If only they could figure that out with Dragon Ball Z, we'd have maybe this show will start a trend, because there's a billion characters in Dragon Ball Z that you could just skip to this guy or skip to that guy. You
don't absolutely.
I'm hoping, and that was something to not put Gaimon in the live action. So hopefully there's enough complaints about him.
And that's one thing that Oda kind of talked about, because someone asked me, was like, why now? Why the live action now? And why not years ago? And Oda's like, where this show and where the live action deserved to be, we were not ready yet years ago. Like, where our technology was not ready. Where the show stood as a whole was, you know, it just wasn't ready for something like that yet. And I didn't want to just throw something out there that wasn't going to be worth and be able to actually show what One Piece is about and be able to really grasp the the aura that is One Piece or whatever, you know.
Even just having a main character that can stretchy characters in movies over the years have not been done perfectly well.
Oh yeah.
And it's very hard. It takes a long time to get the technology there to make it believable. So that being the main guy's thing, it's like, let's wait a little longer. Let's see where CG can get to.
Yeah. That was the thing I was worried about going into this. Honestly, was Luffy, was the Devil Fruit powers between Luffy's and Buggy's. And I think they've done both of them. Really awesome. Well,
Buggy's looked awesome
too. I know. Buggy's looked great. Powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of the pieces like flying around and everything like that. His looked badass. And then the last note I had was something we already kind of referred to. Mihawk totally recognized Shanks' hat. I loved that.
Oh
yeah, he did.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, that's why he was like, I do like your hat though. Because he knew Shanks' hat.
It was very... I thought he was just like a hat fan, because he has a very exciting hat.
Yeah, he definitely knew Shanks' hat.
They were the only two in the crowd that I noticed come up later, the crowd at the beginning of episode one. And I was like, oh, they probably, you know, they go back to the same time at least. So I didn't think about the connection until just now, because I didn't like him, like Amanda, I didn't pick up on that at all. Like, oh, nice hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is nice.
You too are a fan of fashion.
Okay, so now we can move on to the after party. So We have another question here from our friend John Big Dick, or whatever his name is, or
Big Dick Silver.
Silver Dick Big. oh yeah, I forgot. I gotta actually share the let's see if I can do this right here. Sorry, y'all, my bad. I should have been more prepared. Okay, so let's try here.
What's up, Going Merry? It's Joe Rogan, aka Long Silver Dick, here once again to inconvenience you. My true identity will remain a mystery until you agree to have me as a guest on your show, and on that day, directly to your audience, I will reveal myself. So, my question this week, while fighting Dracul Mihawk, Zoro's two main swords get sliced to pieces. Do you know how many pieces in total his swords ended up being?
So, any...
Five? Does that include the, like, the hilt, though?
I mean, he said so in total, two. So...
I'm gonna say 12.
Maybe 7?
I'm guessing 8. I think each sword went into 4 pieces.
I'll go 7.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Keith, any guesses?
I'm sticking with 14, sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, then I guess we will... Whitney, you gave an answer, right? 5?
12.
12, okay. So we will take a listen to the answer now.
Where's that abacus?
The correct answer is 8 pieces.
Ah! Damn it, you listen so to that, you cheater. You listen. What? Eric had the audio. He cheated.
Go me.
Bogus.
Good point. Good point. You do have the audio. That's
I almost said 8 too, you fucker.
I should have said 8 too. I like the 8's my number.
Damn it.
Yeah, that was something I didn't really notice like total pieces, but I was kind of surprised that it wasn't split into more pieces. Like I felt like there were still like decently long chunks. Whitney, what's that face? Okay, whatever.
Quit saying that to me. You guys, that is unfounded.
Big Dick Silver, thanks again for the question. That was a great question.
Maybe you should send it to someone else so they don't cheat next time.
Hey, you know what? So, okay, here's the thing. I will go ahead and admit now. Last
that
week,
I cheated.
Last 100%. Week, because of the way that I opened it, I accidentally saw the answer last week of Black Mohawk. And that's why I didn't say the answer, because I could not, I couldn't bring myself to say the answer when I already knew what it was. But this week, I had no clue. I opened it differently to make sure I did not see the answer this week. But yeah, I did see the answer last week.
I believe him. I believe him. Just this once.
Just this once.
I'll listen to next week's, though.
Yeah, we'll see about next week's. any other quotes?
No.
Okay. Pirate pals.
Okay, this one was hard because there were a few people, some of them not necessarily pirates that I wanted to pick, like what's his face? You told me his name already, but
Patty.
Yeah, Patty. I know he's, well, I don't know if he was a pirate. We don't really know. I mean, he works at the Baratie, but I don't know if he was really a pirate. There was also Full Body, who is definitely not a pirate, but I thought it was interesting that they brought him to the screen. But I decided to go with Big Daddy Zeff. I know it's hard for you to see my screen.
Who doesn't love Chef Zeff?
Oh, Red Leg Zeff. I just really like how they did his character. Looks so good. I like how tall his hat was. Did we talk about the anime Zeff once, about how his hat seemed to get bigger sometimes and smaller?
I don't think that was ever something we mentioned. No,
I feel like somebody did. Maybe I saw that somewhere else, but yeah, I love the mustache made it. His peg leg. I'm excited to see if we learn more about him, because we know lots about him from the anime. So I'm interested to see if we get to learn more about him in the live action, because I just love his and Sanji's dynamic together. They're great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, piece of shit.
Oh, Don Krieg.
Oh yeah,
that's who I had wrote down too.
But if we're going with piece of shit to where they like really hold back the crew, he didn't really do anything. So does that fit with the rules of piece of shit?
I mean,
because I have another one that I think fits the rules.
Okay. I mean, I think I know who you're saying, and if it's who I think it is, I'm going to support you.
With that one too.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. Why don't you go ahead and say it, Whitney?
I was going to say Usopp.
Yes.
Yeah. he gave everything away, everything, because he was careless. He ran his mouth.
So drunk, though.
But in the beginning too.
I mean, like, if you're ever that hammered, are you really gonna not? Are you gonna watch what you say?
But he wasn't drunk when they first got there, and he's like, "You mean you're gonna make the future king of the pirates wait?" I mean, that wasn't nearly as bad. But like I said,
nobody seemed concerned, which was weird.
He had no idea who's listening.
Weird.
Well, they probably just thought they were crazy. They don't look super threatening, I guess. But then you know. I love how he looked at Mihawk when he sees him at the bar, and he's like, "Do you know Monkey D. Luffy or whatever?" And Usopp just looks at him real drunk, and he's like, "Sure, let me introduce you to him."
You know what? Hell, just meet the whole crew.
Yeah, you just meet everybody, and he's like, "Hey guys, meet my new best friend."
That was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, real piece of shit. Could have ruined a lot of things for them.
I am good with giving it to Don Krieg or Usopp. Either one, I am 100% okay with.
I mean, I feel like Don Krieg is a piece of shit, but as far as the story goes, Usopp fits more for me.
Okay, that's fair. Keith, what about you? You're being quiet.
Usopp.
Usopp?
Usopp. Yep.
Yeah, I guess. That's fine.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yay!
I mean, I think fucking what's-his-face at the dinner table was an asshole, but pink-haired.
Oh, full body, yeah.
Full body.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yeah, he was an asshole.
Both of those two dudes just wouldn't shut the hell up about
the other guy. I don't know who he was, but yeah, he was an asshole too.
He wasn't in the anime, so yeah, I have no clue who the hell that is.
Yeah.
Is it asshole or piece of shit?
Whatever. Either way.
Full body can have the asshole. Whatever.
Yeah, that's true. You can do that.
Usopp is the piece of shit. Full body is the whole sack of shit. Yeah.
Burn.
Okay.
Gross.
There we go. MVPs.
Give me the rules again for MVPs. Is it just the best, biggest badass of the episode? Or
basically,
to, like,
yeah.
Help?
Like,
why is it then not the most valuable person? I always give it to the most valuable person.
I like to do that too. Derek makes new rules every time we do.
No, I don't. I've said the same thing from the very beginning.
Okay. You have never once said,
because then we need to call it something else.
The biggest badass ever.
I've said the most impactful, which is essentially the biggest badass. That's what I said.
That's not what that was once meant.
Not always.
What about
but...
what if your values are different and you the most valuable person to you is the biggest badass?
So that,
or does it have to be someone who's helped the crew?
That's what I think. They further the story along so that the crew can continue their story, their plot. That's what I think the MVPs is. They make the story possible to continue.
See.
Okay.
From the very first,
that's my answer.
The definition we used from the very first episode was the
I don't
most
remember
impactful.
What happened 2 days ago. You think I'm gonna remember that?
Maybe you should go back and listen to our first episode.
I'm not gonna do that.
So yeah, we've impactful was the definition that we used for MVPs from day one. So like,
who is the people?
Huh?
Who's the nominees?
I'm giving my nomination to Hawkeye Mihawk, because that's the guy you walk away from this episode going, that guy was fucking awesome. Like, he stole the show in this episode. I wanted to give it to Sanji because I really liked Sanji in this episode, but he just didn't quite do enough for me. He had the scene with Luffy, and then he had the scene waiting the table, and that was about it.
There
so,
I go.
Yeah, go for it, Keith.
I think if you're going with the rule of whatever pushes the the story forward 100%. It's got to be Mihawk. Sanji, I'm sure, will push the story forward in the next episode, but Mihawk not only has the scene where you're basically hearing for the first time that Garp is using warlords, he also has the scene that basically pushes Zoro to his... not only does he have a scene that pushes Zoro to his dream, but he also has the scene where he outs Usopp as a rat, and not very good at keeping his mouth shut. So you're pushing that story along too, but also just, yeah, if you want to say push the story along, you pushed Zoro to a bitter lesson that he had to learn.
Well, exactly. Like, definitely all of these characters, all of them, well, except for Usopp, are, you know, Luffy is extremely cocky. Zoro's extremely cocky. Nami's extremely cocky. They all need someone to come up and say, look, you're not as good as you think you are. They need to be taken down a level if they're going to keep building. Yeah. Zoro just got taken down the level first. Because he knows how much better Mihawk is than him now, he knows how much harder he needs to work. And it's going to make him work even harder in the future. So this, I mean, it's a big moment for, major moment for Zoro at this point, too. So, Amanda, Whitney. Y'all are just sitting there staring. Okay.
My nomination was for Mihawk, and here is why.
Okay.
Not because he is a badass. Because...
he had great eyes.
Let me exactly like Keith said, he started it off with Garp. He, of course, had the huge part with Zoro, which furthered Zoro's whole arc. But then it cemented it for me when he decided to do whatever the hell he wanted and let these guys go and do what they were going to do. If he had, he could have easily killed Zoro and all the rest of them and taken them hostage if he wanted to, but he decided not to. And that is why we have a story that's getting ready to continue without him.
Right. Because he didn't kill anybody. He let them all go.
Because he does whatever the hell he wants to do because he's a warlord. And that's why I thought he was the MVP, because our story would be going nowhere else except back to Garp.
Well
played. Concur.
Well said.
Okay. This is the best fucking episode ever. It was a great One Piece episode. Keith is here. Usopp gets the piece of shit. Mihawk gets the MVPs. How does this get any better? Is it my birthday today?
We go from here.
No, it was mine yesterday.
It was just Amanda's birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Okay, are you a Libra?
Yeah.
Yes, you are. I knew it. You're so stereotypical, Libra.
Okay.
I say that with love. It was not meant to be ugly.
It was kind of a dig.
I haven't heard anything bad about them. So
I've not heard anything bad about Libras.
I can't make decisions. Libra. That's the thing.
Derek, are you a Scorpio?
No.
Are you an Aries?
No.
Taurus?
Nope.
Cancer?
What?
Cancer?
No.
If you get through them all, then...
Gemini?
Nope.
Leo.
Wow.
Capricorn.
Virgo. So I am right on the line of Virgo and Leo.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's like I think the cutoff date is like August 22nd. And my birthday is like August 25th. So I'm like,
you're
right
barely
there.
Virgo.
Yeah. So like I have tendencies of both.
You guessed like 10. And then I know. You're like, that makes sense.
Well, yeah. I didn't guess
Leo. Makes sense.
Amanda guessed Leo, and yeah.
The last two that you don't guess are the...
We didn't say Aquarius or Pisces.
Do what?
We didn't say Aquarius or is that Aquarius?
Aquarius. Aquarius.
Yeah, because I'm an Aquarius.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, before we head out of here.
You're a what?
Taurus. A Taurus. I'm a Taurus. Okay.
That makes sense.
Ford.
So, yeah. I was gonna say Ford Motor Company.
No matter what anybody says, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Read my chart.
So before we head out of here, I have a couple of questions for Keith. One, you've already kind of mentioned, are you planning on keeping watching the live action?
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to probably finish it this week at some point.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm hooked. Cool. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And so one of the things that Oda was big on the live action, he was excited for the live action, is for the people that have never read the manga or watched the anime to get an introduction to One Piece. So does watching the live action make you interested in watching the anime at all?
It does, honestly, from loving film and television and stuff like that, seeing adaptations and how they move along and how they change. I would like to see what this is based on, because it would be not only maybe a bit of, well, I don't want to spoil anything if this is, it's going to be a season two, but I would probably watch up to a point where I was unfamiliar with what's going on, and then I would stop.
Okay.
Doing that.
I think it'd be,
which is how many episodes?
That'd be pretty easy for you to do.
Yeah.
65, okay. Right?
Where, because I already know where the live action cuts off. It would be 45 episodes.
I thought they said it was 65.
Mm-mm.
Well,
the internet was wrong.
Yeah,
if you
internet's wrong.
Live action, you'll know where to stop when you watch the anime.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Pretty easy distinction.
Which is, it's actually pretty interesting, because 45 episodes is the cutoff mark in the challenge, as far as if you're watching the One Piece anime, watch to episode 45 before you judge it. If you stop before 45, you're not getting a full idea of what the anime is and what it can be, because the writing changes after episode 30.
Okay.
And then you've got your arc from 30 to 45. So if you stop before then, you don't know what the anime is. Okay. And now, I'm not saying you'll love it at 45, but if you at least like it, keep watching. If you don't, stop. Like, that's the point where you'll know if it's a show for you or not, is 45.
I say the same thing when I try to get people into Breaking Bad. I'm like, other than all the critical acclaim that you've heard about how good the show is, watch the first six episodes. If you can't get through the first six and you're enjoying the show by that end of the first season, then you're not going to like the show. It's not for you.
Yeah. Every show has that moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we kind of talk about it in our introduction episode before we actually started reviewing, is the, like I mentioned, the writing changes after episode 30, because before then Oda was thinking it was going to be like 100 episodes total for the show. So the writing is different. And so at episode 30, he realized he had something. And so he starts getting a lot deeper in his characters and starts pulling more emotion out of them, and starts setting up for the long haul. It's like we already talked about the warlords in this episode. The warlords was something that Oda introduced in episode 31. Right off the bat, he started introducing a new authority figure for the long haul. So 45, that's the cutoff. So like, if you're watching through where the live action is, that's a good spot.
All right.
Bring it up. Okay. Anyone else have anything else before we call it good? All right. Keith, you want to plug your shit?
Oh, yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Keith Zonders. You can find me on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it these days as at Film Critter. And I will be joining the Avengers podcast regularly as of this Friday. I will be their new third. So, very excited to talk about Loki.
Yay! That's going to be fun.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, we've got one of the other Avengers hosts scheduled to be on here for one of the later episodes.
Exciting. Yeah, I have recorded with her a few times now, and you guys...
Oh, this is gonna go so far off the rails, but it'll be great.
It's awesome.
We've been on the Mad Trivia podcast. Our friend John has that podcast. We have two Johns that are friends, but this one is the Mad Trivia, and we've been on there together, and it is Oh my God, one of the most off the rails things you've ever heard. We did Mad Libs and trivia on Avengers Infinity War. Oh my God, such a blast. With Brandon, also the other person on the Avengers. So,
well, everyone, you can support the show on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Going Merry Pod. You can also support the show by leaving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. Goes a long way with getting the show out there, and it is very much appreciated. Keith, thank you again for joining us. It was amazing having you on here. And if you decide to keep going on the anime, you know, if you like the anime or whatever, definitely let us know. And maybe we can get you on for an anime episode sometime if you catch up to us. We're not that far ahead of where it's at right now. So,
okay. Yeah. I will definitely keep that in mind. I would love to come on again. And if not for that, then definitely season 2 of the live action.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because I'm sure we'll be doing that as well. All right. Well, everyone, I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.